Again, we're thankful that you joined us here on Scripture in Black and White. And as we look at this season, we're going to be dealing with the book that Michelle and I wrote, dealing with identity. And as we start off this discussion, we're going to be talking about some of the scriptures that we deal with in our chapters of this book. Bobby?
Anthony, I'm so glad that we're doing this in season three, where we're talking about identity. I'm really grateful that Michelle Eagle is here with us. Michelle is one of the discipleship ministers at Harpeth Christian Church. She's been on staff with us for at least 15 years.
Yeah.
And Michelle disciples women all the time. And I think Michelle's going to tell us, because she's told me privately, that identity is a big deal for women. I just want to say, I think identity is a big deal for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I think right now that the whole concept of what is it to be human? What is it to be man? What is it to be woman? What is it to be a non-Christian? Just our question of identity. In fact, many people know the name Tim Keller. Before Tim Keller died, he gave an interview that was really a good interview. And he talked about how the previous generation was really focused on social justice. So if you were to look at Christians, say 20 years ago, social justice was the big deal. And Keller said, church leaders need to realize that the big issue today is identity. And we see it up. We see it in many areas, the least of which would be the debate over transgenderism and what is a man, what is a woman, how to identify in terms of our sexual desires. Do our sexual desires define us? So we're going to jump into all these things. And here's the key thing. We're going to see that Scripture gives us great guidance. We're going to see that Scripture teaches us that our identity, once we are baptized into Christ, that our identity is transformed. Literally, in the words of Galatians 3, where there's no Jew, Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for we are all one in Christ. And our primary identity becomes our identity in Christ.
Right. Right.
So start us off by talking about why you think, Michelle, if we can go to you first, why is this conversation a big deal today?
Yeah, well, I think it's foundational. It's who we are. And I think that in the world, it's this moving target and it keeps changing. Just like you said, 20 years ago, it was social justice. Now it's identity. But the identity that we have has to be grounded in Christ, because it's not a moving target. It says scripturally exactly who we are and who God is. But when the world defines it, or even sometimes the church defines who we are, instead of scripture actually defining who we are, then it's this moving target that we have really no shot of actually attaining. Yeah. I mean, the reality is, right? Yeah. Oh. And it just changes depending on our circumstances, depending on what's actually going on around us, changes our identity, and that's not going to work.
So what you're describing, I think, is that people can often be like ping pong balls when they're not sure of their identity.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's like shooting an arrow towards a target and not actually having a bullseye in the middle and going, what? Shockingly enough, you didn't hit the bullseye. Well, there wasn't one there. You know, I didn't know what I was shooting for. And yeah, so yeah. I think it goes down to that if you don't know what you're actually shooting for, how do you know when you get there?
Great.
You know?
So, Anthony, you and I have become close friends. We spent a lot of time a while back on the Jason Whitlock Show, which is a great show that a lot of people watch. And one of the things that we kept coming back to on Jason Whitlock's show is that the way the world wants to define our identities, that skin color is your primary identity, for example, we just said that's not true. Our primary identity is first that we're made in the image of God, and everyone is made in the image of God. That's our primary identity. And then for Christians, our secondary identity is that we are in Christ. Talk to us how this is so important in the whole conversation today about race.
So again, with the moving target of who we are and who our identity is, if my identity is wrapped up in my race, then that puts me in a box of not just the racial identity, but also the culture, the stereotypes and everything that goes with that.
Yeah.
And if I don't identify with that, then I'm ambiguous about my identity. And, yeah. And just looking back to what Michelle is saying, if our identity is a moving target, if it is ambiguous, if it is vague, then that contributes into how we interpret life. Mm-hmm. It becomes a lens to how we interpret life. And if that lens is cloudy, if it's not accurate, then everything I see goes through that. I'll give a quick biblical example. Jesus comes across a man who's blind and he touches him. And when the man begins to see, so what do you see? He says, I see men walking as trees. Jesus doesn't leave him in that condition. Yeah. If we see everybody through the lens of their trees, their obstacles, then I'm going to respond to them. So if, you know, Jesus had to touch him again so that he could see clearly.
Yeah.
This is who we really are. In the same way, if I see everything through a racial prism, then that has a context. And in our American dynamic, there's some pain, there's some anguish in that context. There is some superiority, inferiority in that complex. I can't operate today through that lens because now I'm going to see everyone through an oppressed, oppressive dynamic.
Yeah.
It's going to inform. And then I've got to settle myself with how do I identify in this? So again, it's one of these things that this is how I feel. This is how I see. I need the identity that comes from scripture that's clear, that's black and white, no pun intended, but that also gives me that direction to where I can function through this and still please God.
Yeah. It's based on truth.
Absolutely.
Versus the moving truth of the world,
right? Right.
Somebody once told me of a Christian professor in a secular environment. And he had his students having a conversation about Jesus. And he had them read the Gospels, and then he had a conversation with them. And he asked them how Jesus saw a Pharisee. How did Jesus see a leper? How did Jesus look at a prostitute? So they started talking about prostitute. How did Jesus see the prostitute? Rigorous conversation. And then one of the students quietly spoke up and said, Jesus never saw a prostitute.
Oh.
And I think that that's right. That's the categories that we human beings put on each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have people in some circumstances say, yeah, you're they'll say about me, you're the problem today. You're an old white man. No. I don't like it when they say, well, because I'm not that old, but I am white and I am a man. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that it's people like me that are all the problem today, which, you know, on the surface of it, you know, kind of frustrates you, but it's because people have been discipled to think that way. So they're coming out of that. Or, Michelle, I'll often find, especially women that have been hurt by men, that to say you're just a man, or, you know, to frame it that way can often be meant as a significant insult. Mm-hmm. So as we begin, I just want to ask this question. Why is it that we're so confused about identity today? Like, where does that come from in our culture? Michelle?
Well, I think it comes from the world. It comes from, I think it can even come from the church. You know, that we get our roles confused with identity. I'm a mom. So if my role is as a mother, well, if something's going on with my kids that is good, well, I'm awesome. That I have a great identity. Yeah. Well, if they're not doing well, then I'm a loser. And then we get into the losers and the winners, and we get into the financial side of it. And we get into to my career is who I am, you know, and like introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Michelle. I work at a church. You know, this is who I am. You know, I'm introducing myself that way instead of going, I'm a believer. That's who I am. You know, God defines who I am. And I think that we've gotten it turned around with identifying what we do,
yeah,
what we've produced, you know, what's in our household, all of those things have confused us to believe that that's actually where we get our value from.
Yeah, if we're attached to in many cases.
Yeah.
We are not our occupation.
Mm-hmm.
We are not our success. We are not our failure. We are not what happened to us. And in some cases, we are not the things that we've done necessarily. We are a child of God. I am a child of God. I'll share this another kind of scriptural reference. God.
There you go, quoting the Bible.
God takes Jeremiah to the potter's house, and he says, behold, right, I want you to look at what the potter is doing. And Jeremiah witnesses this. He says, the potter is working with a piece of clay on the wheel, and he has a piece that's marred, but he makes it into what he best wants it to be. And so as an artist myself and have made pottery, I understand the potter does not make a piece of pottery and then look back and say, I think that's going to be a bowl. No, as he's making it, he's purposing it. He is identifying it as he makes it. God made us the same way. God didn't make a human being and then say, I think I'm going to make that a woman. No, he had all of that in mind when he made me. So whenever we're confused about identity, just as the potter, just as the artist, you know, if you see a piece of abstract art, you don't know what it is. The only way we can find out what it is, I got to go back to the creator.
Christ, yeah.
The same thing with us. If I'm shifting,
what did you make? What did the creator make it to be?
What did God, what did you do? What I'm struggling with my identity. The only way I can find that out, I got to go back to the creator.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you both talk about Moses as somebody early in the Bible who struggled with his identity.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. Michelle, let's start with you.
Yeah. Well, as we were talking about it and really thinking about it, I try to get myself into his shoes going, okay, so here I was. This is who I was born as.
Yeah.
Right. This is who I've been adopted and raised as.
Mm-hmm.
How confusing. I mean, you know, I think of it as kids even being adopted from Africa, you know, and coming into to a Caucasian family, you know, going, who am I? Yes. Well, of course that's confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense that it would be confusing. And your allegiances are torn.
Yeah.
Like, wait, am I supposed to defend these people that are my people because that's what I was born from? Or wait, we need these people because they're doing the work that we're, you know, and so so I can't even imagine how confusing that must be. But we're actually facing that now. We have people, you know, that just like I said, that have been adopted, or even if they came from a non-Christian life and they've entered into truly a Christian lifestyle, then they've also are trying to figure out their identity
whose parents divorced or maybe they were born to parents who weren't even married and all of these things.
Yeah.
So the story is told in the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Let me read it to you because it describes how there was a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When they saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Now, the reason they did that is because the Egyptians were killing the Israelites. And it goes on and describes how she hid him in a basket in the Nile River. And then one day when Pharaoh's daughter comes down to bathe, she has an attendant. And the attendant says, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you? Yes, Pharaoh's daughter says, I'm going to adopt this baby. I'm going, of course, she didn't know him as Moses back then.
Look what I found.
So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So she adopts Moses. She actually kind of steals Moses. And then, not knowing what's going on, gets Moses' mother to nurse him and offers to pay her to nurse him. So it says the woman took the baby, nursed him. When the child grew older, She took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of water, which is what the word Moses meant.
Mm-hmm.
So there's somebody who's going to grow up with confusing identity. Yeah.
Moses was the first basket case.
He's the first what?
Basket case. Literally from the text, he's hidden the basket. But as Michelle just shared, though, imagine the dynamic as he grows up. And we touched on this, but I want to take it even a little deeper. There is a, with race, with culture, there's a whole dynamic that goes with an Egyptian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Egyptian parents would say, you know, you want to grow up and be a good Egyptian. Mm-hmm. So there's that whole dynamic. There's the whole Hebrew dynamic, right? He grows up in this. And he's around both. He's raised as an Egyptian, though, but he's a Hebrew. Uh-huh. He's got to look in the mirror on a daily basis. And is this who I am?
Yeah.
Or when I leave the mirror, is this who I am?
Uh-huh.
Okay, he's got to walk in that daily. That creates a dynamic for him. When you talk about those who are adopted, they may have those same struggles.
Yeah.
I look in the mirror. Is this who I am?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or when I leave the restroom, is this family that has loved me, cared for me, this new culture, even on a spiritual level, those who've been raised in the world, but may have some Christian influences. You know, I was raised to defend. I was raised to do this. This is who I am. But now you're telling me my real identity is something different.
Which is so confusing.
Because
I don't feel it.
Yes.
And the world tells me I am who I feel. Right. And
right.
So, well, I don't really feel very Christian.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I still want to do the things that I know I'm not supposed to do. Like, I know I'm not supposed to do them, but I still want to do them.
But I
want to
do it.
So
that's what I feel.
Right. So I must be a bad Christian. That can be the only answer. And so then it goes to, well, maybe I should go back to that identity like that was in the world, but I'm confused.
I think that this is really a crucial thing. Let me go back to the text.
Sure.
Listen to this in Exodus chapter 2. It says, one day, so this is describing Moses as an adult. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out where his own people were. Mm. So obviously he knows that he's a Jewish. He went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and he saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? The man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? And Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. So he ends up going off and fleeing. It's interesting because he's got mixed identity.
Mm-hmm. Bobby.
And shame in that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Think about, I mean, that those couple of verses are so rich. Think about this. He sees a Hebrew and an Egyptian fighting. Physically, he sees that happen. But what he sees is what's actually taking place in his heart.
Yeah.
There is an Egyptian and a Hebrew
battling
fighting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the only way that he could make the fighting stop physically and in here, I've got to choose one of these.
Yeah, I got to pick a team.
And so he does, right? So that's the cultural dynamic. But then we deal with the next verse, the spiritual dynamic. Okay, now we got two Hebrews fighting.
Yeah.
And the Hebrew says, well, who made you prince? So there's a destiny that God has for Moses.
Yeah.
That he's going to be wrestling with that too. Not who I am, but who I'm becoming in God. It's a rich past.
So let's try to identify, as we close this first session, some struggles.
Mm.
So my daughter just adopted a baby. We're so grateful. We're just so, so happy. But one of the things that I know is he's going to grow up in a home and he's going to have, you know, struggles. So we've talked about adopted kids. Like, who are my real parents? Who am I really? I mean, it's part of a human being's nature. Man, woman, we just want to know who we are and why we're here. But there's also unique struggles. So, Michelle, if I can ask you about something, I've often been told that Christian men, one of the things they typically struggle with is going to be lust and, you know, just the gravitation to sexual thoughts, that that's a typical man's struggle. Difference with men and women, I've often been told, and these are, you know, overgeneralizations, let's just say that, but the women struggle more often not codependency. Uh-huh. In other words, that their identity is based on others.
Yeah.
So let's try to identify. Is that true?
Yeah.
In your ministry?
Definitely.
And let's.
Yeah. And I think, just like you said, it's obviously an overgeneralization. And so there's lots of crossovers there. But yeah, I mean, codependency and trying to base how good I feel on how somebody else feels about me.
Yeah.
So when I am having a great day, it's because somebody has basically kind of told me I'm having a great day.
Yeah.
Because they're having a good day because of me.
Yeah.
And so, but that also means if they're not, then I am not.
Yeah.
And so if it, and it, it just like what Anthony says, it's the lens that you see everything through.
Yeah.
So I've had people where if they said, you know, if I told them, well, you've got a little bit of mustard on your shirt, what they heard me say was, you're such an idiot. You can't even eat lunch without getting mustard on your shirt. When all I was doing was just going, you may want to just clean the mustard off your shirt. You know what I mean? So they're seeing everything is filtered through that lens of what somebody else is thinking about me.
Yeah.
And so, like we said earlier, it's a moving target.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take into consideration your heart. And what did I actually mean by that? Mm-hmm. You know, I had a pure heart about the mustard. You know, and so that's then putting that all on me going, no, I didn't mean anything ugly by that. I just, I was trying to protect you.
You know, slob.
Exactly. You know, and so then it's moving all over the place and it's dependent on everybody else instead of being dependent on who God says you are. God says you are beautifully and wonderfully made. You know, God says you are adopted and you are chosen and all of those things. But for them to truly internalize that and live out of that, because how they should be caring for their families and caring for their friends and their spouses should be an overflow of the love that they're receiving from the Creator. But they're so busy worried about everybody else that they can't even receive all of that from God. You know,
that's good. Yeah. Anthony, how about men? What when it comes to identity, what are men's typical struggles?
Expectation, and trying to. So there's me thinking that this is the expectation. There are me trying to live to the expectation that I assume you have for me. And I also got to deal with those for me. So what happens is a lot of times because of the expectation, men tend to identify themselves by their occupation. You think about when men meet one another, the first few questions we're asking, what do you do?
Yeah.
Because we're sizing you up, you know, are you being a good man? Are you functioning by these standards of expectation rather than am I being what God called me to be as a man? So I may not make X amount of dollars. I may not be the manager, the boss at the clinic or the job or whatever. I may not be any of those things, but I may be a good husband to my family. And if I wrap up, I'll share this. If I wrap up being a good husband into, well, I got to be a good provider, then now I'm doing everything to provide, but I'm not giving them spiritual milk. I'm not leading them in Christ. I'm not being compassionate. I'm not listening. So everything becomes, I'm working long hours. I'm sacrificing my body because I got to provide. But wait, have you listened to your kids or have you listened to your wife? Are you? So we, because of the expectation, because of what I think I'm supposed to do, or because of what I think I need to do for others, rather than living out my God-given goal, you know, what did God make me?
Yeah.
If I lose that, I'll be as Solomon's. I'm going to be chasing the Lord.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about, as we close, the idea that my feelings are not facts. And I can feel a certain way. The book of Romans chapter 12 talks about be transformed by the renewing of your minds.
Yeah.
So that you can conform to the will of God. Michelle, when we disciple people, or one of the pieces of language that we use is hearts grounded in truth.
Yeah.
How do we, when it comes to our feelings, teach our feelings to be grounded in truth?
Yeah. I mean, and science is backing this up right now. It's a rewiring of our brain, right? Mm. We have been confused by the enemy, confused by the world to think a certain way, and that our feelings should dictate our actions. Our feelings should dictate how we treat others. Our feelings should, you know, and when really we have to actually be able to pull back and go, okay, what does actually God say about this situation? What is the truth in this situation? And I think we have to have community for that.
Yeah.
I think we have to have people in our lives that actually will tell us the truth and not just what we want to hear. Itchy ears call the first person that is like, okay, when I get into a fight with my husband, this person is going to always take my side, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so that's who I'm calling, right? Versus going, hey, so this is what happened. Can you give me a good take on it? Give me, and if it means that me telling a woman that I'm discipling, yeah, you need to go apologize. That's not okay. And then they need to follow through on that. But you have to have people in your life that are speaking truth to you to help you see it until you can start seeing it for yourself because you've rewired. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, Anthony and Michelle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to bring this first session to an end. And in our next session, we're going to talk about what is our identity in Christ? What is it? What does it mean? How does it change our lives? So until next time, thank you for being with us in Scripture in Black and White.